leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, Nate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
For Nico, it's just like, it's kind of Energizer Bunny, man. Like, it's just going and going and going.
The rally continues. Nico Horner, a run scoring single. Line to center. That's going to be a base hit. Another clutch base hit for the Cubs, and they lead 5-1.
Long-lasting Energizer battery. Keep going and going and going.
Cubs lead 2-0. Nico Horner delivers the sacrifice fly.
Still going.
His kind of relentlessness and grit, like, they, you know, that's kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot, but like, he is like the definition of grit. Like, it never stops. That's a really great trait, and it rubs off on other people.
They tell me you're a man with true grit.
Well, what do you want? Speak up.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Mark Grody and Anthony Heron in for Parkins and Spiegel today. And this segment with the gritty Nico Horner is brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. Nico, it's Mark and Anthony, the regular guys. Both of them abandon you. So that's what we're dealing with today on the score, my friend.
It's all good. We're mixing it up. I'm down here in the hallways of Camden Yards. Yeah, it's a hot day in Baltimore, but getting in some AC right now.
Nice. I mean, it's the start of a pretty important road trip and kind of the race to the All-Star break, being against, you know, the Baltimore, one of the best teams in baseball, and then you guys get four games with St. Louis. Is that the feel as you guys arrive in Baltimore and get ready to go against the Orioles tonight?
Yeah, definitely a good ball club. It's obviously playing really well. I think, you know, that's one of the coolest parts of the change in schedules that we had starting last year, right, is getting to play every team every year. And, you know, you hear up the great names and the, you know, AL East or whoever, you don't get to see that much. And it's fun to get to see them and see different ballparks and fan bases and see how you compare against the best. And like you said, obviously has big implications for us as well.
You were mentioning how steamy it is out there. I saw some folks like Zach Zabin tweeting about it a bit earlier, 90-plus degrees in. So you're sitting in the AC right now. Do you adjust your pregame routine at all then on a day like this where it's really muggy out?
Not really. We hit outside already early with some guys. Sorry about that. I cut out. I like on the first day of a road trip, going and hitting early on the field, machine on the field with a couple other guys and just doing it on your own time, getting to really settle in, especially a ballpark like this that we don't get to play at very often. And a lot of that's just getting grounded and the sight lines and everything. So I got to do that. Now just hanging out. I'll be ready to play later.
So how did you like hearing your manager, Craig Counsell, on the opening talking about you being the Energizer Bunny of this team, being the gritty player? I feel like that's easy pickings for you. Like, you're the gritty guy. Do you like the gritty connotation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hear a lot of media stuff, so sometimes it's fun on this show that the little excerpts that you guys choose for me, because I'm not taking all that stuff in on a day to day. And yeah, that's fun. I mean, I know where he's coming from with that. And, you know, it's been a season has been relentless at times, both with, you know, injuries and results, individual and for the team. But, you know, we talk about the only thing you really can't control within a lot of that is attitude and how you respond to those things. And, you know, I think all guys do that in their own ways in this group. But, you know, I'm glad that what I do hopefully has an impact on other people too.
Yeah, and you know, you obviously showing that to your teammates in what has been a disappointing season. Like I said the other day on the radio, I don't think it's been a bad season for you guys. It's just been a very disappointing season. You're showing the grit. You had Justin Steele kind of going off two starts ago in the dugout. You had, and I know this is not the example that anybody's trying to set, but Colton Brewer showing emotion, punching a wall and breaking his hand. No, you don't want that, but is it just kind of organically occurring on this team, a little bit of the frustration overflowing and you guys showing some good energy because of it?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how just emotions and challenges of this game people handle in so many different ways, some public, some private, and I guess those have been some of the more public glimpses that, you know, everyone out in the world has gotten. And, you know, I think being tough or gritty shows up in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, the toughest thing sometimes is keeping a straight face and keeping going on with things, and that's the best thing for a group. But I do think, you know, there are some displays of emotion that that are meaningful. And I think you mentioned Steely doing that, and he didn't plan that out or anything. It's authentic, and it's him being a competitor. It's him wanting the best for the group. It's him wanting the best from his teammates. And we all know where he's coming from because he's not a guy that does that very often. And, like, it's a hard to say exactly how that impacted things moving forward, but just we all knew where he was coming from in that moment, and all have the same, if not more, respect for him just because he backs it up and he did for the rest of that outing, and even more so his next start. That's all you can ask for from your teammates.
Yeah, I mean, that was the right guy, because I think right now he, and we'll get more into this too, I think right now he has turned back into the best starting pitcher on this team. But one more thing about the frustration in Colton Brewer. What did you make of that, him, you know, hitting? I'm sure that on some level a lot of players can relate to that level of frustration. What did you think of it? Did you guys talk to him? And can you in any way, shape, or form in your career or your sporting life relate to being that frustrated and doing something to yourself that was not productive?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a, you know, fair share of blow-ups in this sport, whether it's visible in the dugout or, you know, down under. And no, that's no secret. I think, you know, almost all of us have had a moment along those lines, like you've said, and, you know, really unfortunate, and both for him and the team that he has to miss time. You know, obviously if he were to go back through it again, I'm sure he wouldn't want to do that. But yeah, emotions run high. We play this game with a lot of passion and energy, and just the moment that boiled over for him. But yeah, as far as how the team's handling it or talking about it, just moving on and on to the next.
Have you had a moment like that? That's one thing I was talking to Mark a little bit about off air, just for me, whether it was, you know, pro football, even like high school basketball, thinking back to sort of, you know, somewhat goofball injuries where almost self-inflicted at times in the midst of a season. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Now my ankle's jacked up. I shouldn't have done that. Now my wrist is hurt. You grew up playing a variety of sports. Have you ever had a moment where it's like, oh, all right, that was something self-inflicted that maybe that might impact a game or a stretch coming up here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, fortunately, I mean, knock on wood, I've avoided an injury in that way. I think I definitely was on like more of the visibly emotional side of things growing up, had a lot of trouble controlling my emotions and, you know, just going crazy at 12 years old, throwing stuff, throwing tantrums and all that. Like I've been through it. I think, you know, slowly have gotten to a place where I'm a little more in control of what I'm doing, but it feels just as intense, if not more now. And you know, I think you just learning to play every day. You learn to, you know, handle those things a little bit, but there are times when that boils over, and you know, it is a part of the game. I think the most important thing is just how you respond from it. I think, you know, the judgment from teammates is more of how you respond to those things than what you actually do in that moment. And there's times when, you know, getting angry, seeing it get guys to a place of focus, but also gets guys to a place where they're distracted and it takes away from what they're able to do for the group. So I think it's just whatever it turns into.
Nico, I like to call it controlled grit. That's what it is. Ah. Controlled Energizer Bunny.
You should trademark that. Yeah. I was thinking about just times as like a young athlete and watching and being so passionate about watching pro sports as a kid. And then you get out there on the playing surface and you're almost emulating the movements of guys that you idolize.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a competitor like that for you as a kid, that you're watching somebody and you're just watching the way that they so are intensely focused on what they're doing that maybe you emulated a bit at a young age?
Yeah, I really, really like Troy Tulowitzki. the way he played shortstop, when you said like emulating movements and stuff like that, like he was really aggressive as a shortstop and always was attacking the ball, playing the game with one hand, throwing on the run, and grew up playing on a lot of bad fields, which I think was a good thing for me. But I always felt like I had to just like go attack the ball like before it could take a bad hop kind of thing. And like that was I felt like that looks, I don't know if that's at all how he thought about it, but watching him play defense, I just really enjoyed that. He had a great swag on the field, and that was a guy I really like watching play.
That's great to have that little bit of sports trauma in your head over playing on other fields, and now you're on the best fields like ever out there, and you're still scared. That's good though, Nico, right?
Yeah, go get it.
yeah, go get that ball. Exactly. Talking to Nico Horner here on the Score, Parkins and Spiegel, with me, Mark Grody, and Anthony Heron filling in today. There have been some good things going on with the ball club lately. I mean, I don't know how many times this year we've been able to say the Cubs have won 3 out of 4, and you guys have done that, and all of the wins that you guys have had recently have been good wins. And I'm even going back to the Thursday game against the Phillies where Ian Happ hits a couple of 3-run homers, which felt like, Nico, those homers, I don't know how you kind of felt it or took it in. It felt like relief for me, not just getting the one with two men on and nobody out, and then he does it again, and that's just something that has been scarce for you guys this year. So how good did that feel? And this, I don't know, I'd say semi putting it together last 3 out of 4 for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head in that, you know, obviously winning 3 or 4 is significant, but more so how we did it, winning games by multiple runs, if not more, and you know, playing a complete game. Talk about putting all parts of the game together. We have a great starting outing, you score runs early, you add on, and then the bullpen finishes it off. I mean, that's the blueprint, and obviously that's not attainable every single day, but it is, you know, the standard that you work from. And so to lay that out multiple days in a row and in a stretch of 4 games, I think it's really significant, and just a healthy reminder of how capable we are of that. And I think, like you said, Ian really set the tone for that, both sides of the plate, 2 or 3-run homers, and just such a special day. He's been incredible for a while now. I don't know where, you know, all-star voting and all that stuff is, but his push here has been huge for him personally and for the group, and just admire his perseverance and everything he does on a day-to-day so much. It's just one of my favorite teammates. I've had to watch his process, and the way he responds to things and goes about his work is really cool to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, steal, complete game on Friday. I will say, because I'm like all Cubs fans, Nico, I'm like, okay, they have to put a run together. That's the only way. You guys got to, you know, run off 5 or 6 or 7 wins in a row, you know, 15 of 18, something like that, to get back in this thing, because it's still there. So when Saturday comes along and unfortunately the Angels shut you guys out, that's the game where Kyle Hendricks gets hurt and the Brewer frustrations after that. I was particularly frustrated after that game, just because I was like, okay, here's the opportunity for the run. Do you guys look at it that way too? Like, you just can't quite get to where you want to go in terms of winning 5 or 6 or 7 games in a row?
Yeah, I think that day was definitely, you know, particularly challenging. You know, Kyle's been so impressive in his rebound this year, and some of the outings that he's put forward. So you just want to see him be able to be a good version of himself. And obviously he gave it everything he had, but just wasn't in a place where he could be the best version of himself. And that was tough. And we just didn't score any runs. But I think what you're getting at too, I feel for homestands in general, I just feel like every time we go home, there's an opportunity for something special. And, you know, I still feel that way, but I think, you know, leaving wins on the table at home, it feels significant, both just for the record, for the fans, like all of it. I think we take pride in playing at Wrigley Field and having a home field advantage. And I think last year our record in like those Friday day games was something crazy. And, you know, all that stuff is hard to measure, but it feels real as a player. You know, you have that energy behind you and you want to capitalize on it.
In the midst of, you know, a season where up till now the team hasn't consistently met the expectations that you guys had all set as a squad, but baseball is such an individual sport where the individual results end up assisting the team. So how do you balance that approach to making sure that you're on top of your individual game, But as the team is looking to have more team success, do you find ways to try and, you know, sort of go outside yourself and assist others in the midst of trying to impact, you know, the team improving?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm probably never figure out, but I feel like I'm learning the most about is just what those team dynamics really look like in baseball, right? Because it's not a football or basketball where, you know, the group gets together and like, we're going to play harder and then we're going to play better. It just doesn't really work like that, unfortunately. But the best thing for the team is what you can do to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And I think that's an important thing to remember is, you know, all of us want to turn this around and be the best version of the team that we can be. And a lot of that isn't any of us doing any major changes. It's doing the things that we were brought here to do at a high level. And that goes from players and coaches and staff and all of us. And I think, you know, when things are challenging, it's easy to kind of look for results or fixes or big changes to really turn it around. When a lot of the times, I think it comes down to all of us doing the things that got us here in the first place well, consistently.
And your manager, Craig Counsell, he seems to have such a sort of, you know, flat line and methodical approach to his demeanor and to his managerial style, to his decisions, very analytical in that regard. What do you know better? What do you understand better about Craig Counsell now that he's been your manager through about half the season at this point than maybe you did just in knowing him from a distance previously?
Yeah, I think you learn more about people when things don't go well, right? And he's been incredibly steady in his demeanor and like the things that he values that he preached in spring training. You know, it's easy to put things out there then, but you got to live it out for 162. And he's done that and then some. I think he does a great job of instilling confidence in players through direct communication and then also just day-to-day humor. Like, he's got a great sense of humor. I appreciate that. You know, he takes everything seriously and does everything he can to impact this group, but he's got a good pulse of the group and understands how to build relationships, how to help the team build relationships. And I really admire how he's handled this year.
Nico, I know that you're thinking about baseball. You're thinking about tonight's game. You're thinking about this series and then the four games against St. Louis to end this thing. But what's the plan? What's the plan for the All-Star break? I was listening to Ian Happ earlier, and he said he was going to hang out in Chicago. What do you got cooking? Are you going to take off for a while, or you lay low? What's going on?
Yeah, just hanging. I went to my girlfriend's grandma has a place in the Jersey Shore, so we went there the last 2 years because we had East Coast trips like right before and after. But this year, just honestly, nothing sounds better than just being at home in Chicago and getting to enjoy the city in the summer. And yeah, that sounds like the best vacation possible right now. So going to enjoy that, hang with Ian and some other guys that might be around, and be in Chicago summer without baseball for a little bit.
You referencing the sense of humor of Craig Counsell did pique my interest a little bit, Nico.
Yeah.
What's the goofiest thing you've seen Craig Counsell do up to this point?
I think it's less of like him doing something really goofy and more so having a sense of what the players will appreciate, especially when he's talking to the group and does a nice job bringing that out of guys and connecting guys in the room that wouldn't necessarily overlap too much during the day normally. And I think that's an important thing and a big part of successful teams is, you know, when your bullpen guys or know your position players and know the starting pitchers and you have that overlap and there isn't, you know, cliques in parts of the team. And, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
What if Craig Counsell just started juggling in front of you guys? Just took out a few bowling pins.
Like a multicolored wig on. Just
yeah.
Started juggling.
Yeah, that would. I think I'd be pretty concerned at that point. That might be a sign that things have gone sideways. I'll stick with the dry humor for now.
And me bringing that up is a sign that we should probably let you go, Nico, right, and get ready for the game against the Orioles tonight. We always appreciate it. And, you know, I think Danny and Matt will be returning next week. But thanks for coming on with us, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Nice job, guys. It was fun.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Nico Horner right there giving us the nice job.
He did say nice job.
We, and, you know, I wasn't fishing for it, but I'll be damned if we didn't get it.
It kind of felt like you were fishing a little bit.
Maybe.
It's all right.
It's possible.
Not above that.
That was Nico Horner. That's Ann Heron. I'm Mark Rohde. This is Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. Oh, we stay right here?
We keep it here. Oh. You guys can just bask in your in your comment from Nico, which our guys don't even get.
I had no idea. I could have used a little heads up.
Okay, well, here's the thing. We're gonna pull the curtain back a little bit. I'm glad you said that.
Because that's the only time ever in my life I've been told not to take a break after a guest.
Okay, so, yeah, here's the thing, though, Mark. You asked for something earlier, so I'll go ahead and put this out there because we're trying to spice things up a little bit, right?
Yeah, sure.
So before the show, when the rundown was filled out, we have a very detailed rundown. You guys haven't done any of the reads from it. You haven't teased the giveaway yet. We have a very detailed rundown in which you asked me to print out for you. So you have in that rundown for each segment the break times. I told you in your ear, let's get out from Nico by 49, but the break time in the rundown that you asked to print out that you didn't bring in the studio is 54.
How about this? Instead, hey guys, here's how this works. By the way, I know this is really awkward, Grody, but at the end of this interview, we just keep it. Because who else does that? I've never done that in my career. Instead of just read the stuff, how about producers saying, hey, just a heads up. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to tell you when to do the reads. You got to do that on your own. Then I would do it.
I believe nobody tells me this.
We told you when to do that.
We have to watch. There's nobody telling us, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do next. Or just a heads up. Like, what's going on here?
Which is your favorite
time slot? Does it feel like that?
It does feel like that. Like, I've driven this show, what, 5 times in my life?
Which is your favorite time slot?
I don't know all the things, and you guys sit back there and get mad at us and tell us we're idiots. Just a little heads up.
We'd never call you an idiot.
No, I know what's going on back there.
You said you guys are mad. I'm not mad. It takes a lot more than this to get mad.
We're not mad at you. You said what we deal with on a regular basis.
You come rocking in here, and you did, and you... I did ask for those things, and you never brought them in until the beginning of the show.
Okay, no. So I'm used to leaving them at the desk for Speegs and Danny, and that's where I left them for you guys. Where you sit, your reads and your rundown, I maybe wrongly assumed you'd bring it with you.
If I was at the meeting, you would have left it where I was sitting.
I did leave it where you were sitting.
Well, yeah, I brought mine, but I'm just saying if I was there... When you sat it down, it would have been where I was sitting. I wasn't sitting there yet because I missed the 1 o'clock meeting.
Correct.
Yes. But if I was there, it would have been where I was sitting.
Well, it was there when you got there.
Right. It was.
Right.
It was. So, just to clear things up here,
we are not mad in the least. And I'm sorry if that came off like we were.
All right. But I feel like a little different pressure when I'm leading a show that I don't normally lead with producers I don't usually work with. And nobody's telling me anything. So
you haven't answered my question. Which time slot do you prefer?
I'm just guessing, you know.
You got you've done mornings, middays, afternoons.
I love them all.
But it's got to screw with your sleep schedule.
Oh, well, yeah, the mornings are the hardest, like in terms of that. That's for sure. Yeah, that messes you right up.
Or I know overnights you're passionate about as well because of how much you love less.
Well, that's a different type of challenge doing the overnights. Uh-huh. But
are you longing, though, for dealing with some offensive linemen and linebackers at this point after working with us for a couple of days? Can't wait to get back to Hallis there.
Yes. I think that is the case. But I'm glad we did.
Nico thinks we're doing great. That's what matters.
That's true. I wanted to leave it at that. And, you know, keep it here, Grody. Keep it here.
Send it to break now. I'll back you up.
Can I take a break? Can I take a break? We are going to take a break. Yeah. Can we? By the way, what are we talking about at 3? Wait, I got to look at the rundown. Are we talking about the Bears? You know? Tease the Bears. Okay.
We're going to talk about Caleb and Roman Dunes there.
Okay. We're
it's
talking.
The first time I've looked at a rundown anytime I've been here, by the way. Hand up. I never look at the rundown.
We got a lot to work
through. I got a very strong anti-rundown policy.
We've got till
That's
five.
A me thing, though.
Yeah.
That's not Shane's fault. That's not Tanny's fault. God, that's a me thing.
I didn't know the show that we had issues like this particular group.
I have zero issues.
I know. Right. You're sitting in the easy chair.
I know.
You're sitting in the easy chair.
You're welcome.
We're going to talk Bears next. This is the Parkins and Spiegel show. I am Mark Grody.
And your issues were the lead of the show.
I know.
You have issues. That was the lead.
That's a message being sent to you.
Issue. I have zero issues with it. On the score.
You got a mess. Now you want a break.
Ooh.
He's throwing a break now.
He's doing the end it with laughter thing. Oh.
Radio has a power chair.
I don't think so. Sidecar. I don't think so, shotgun. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What just happened was an unbelievable disaster.